Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. We'll read verses 20 through 23 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Romans, chapter 6, verses 20 through 23. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye now are ashamed? For they are the end things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Father, tonight we sit kind of in your living room and we have our preacher come and preach to us. Father, please, may our hearts be open. May our hearts be as filled with your love and your power as our preacher is. Please change our lives, change our area and our country, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Earlier today, I gave you the title of this evening's sermon. It is this: The Wages of Sin is Death, as found in Romans chapter 6, verse number 23. Tonight, the sermon is a personal one. I think, honestly and sincerely, that tonight we will actually save the life of somebody in this building. I think that we could have saved somebody else's life, but they didn't come to church. They'll miss the truth, and because of it, they will face the Lord prematurely. I think they'll die and go on to heaven or on to hell, whichever the case may be. You say you take it that seriously? Yes, and if I were you, I would too. The wages of sin is death. Oh, what a crummy paycheck. Of course, when we think of wages, we think of payday. We're paid wages. Now this verse, Romans 6:23, those of you that are familiar with soul winning, this is an often used verse. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible is teaching us there that there's a penalty for sin. And what a fabulous verse to use, talking about sin and the penalty of sin. But can I tell you that the wages of sin are evidenced in many other areas of life, and the wages of sin are evidenced in many different stories in the Bible. I hold before me this evening a death certificate. This is a true-to-life certificate of death. It has someone's name on it. This is someone that has passed on. They're gone now. There's a place on this death certificate for the first, the middle, and the last name of the person who has passed on. It asks the question, were they male or were they female? It asks for the date of death, and there's a specific date. It asks for the month, the day, the year, an approximate time. They want to know the hour when that person passed away. It asks about the state, the county, and the city in which they died. It then, down at the bottom, there's a little bit of information here about the conditions under which they met their demise. It also asks this: what is the actual cause of death? Now, maybe the cause of death would be cardiac arrest. I don't know. It could be a variety of things. But let me tell you this. I can assure you that biblically, if you trace death, you'll find its roots in sin. Because before there was no sin, there was no death. And so, if I were the coroner, I could put cardiac arrest finding its roots somewhere in sin. Because you see, it is sin that brings death. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin was death for a man by the name of Achan. Achan was a soldier that was serving under the mighty captain named Joshua. They had gone to battle at a place called Jericho. Jericho, it means the accursed city. And so here you have Achan and Joshua and the troops going to battle at Jericho. And God said to them, do not take any spoil from this accursed city. Don't go in there and take a thing. You go in, you battle at Jericho, you win your battle, and you get out. Don't take the spoil. Don't take with you rewards from your battle. Achan did not listen to the direction of God. Achan sinned. Achan stole a Babylonian garment. He stole 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold. See, he had this desire for money and for clothing. It was such an extreme desire that he didn't do what God wanted him to do. And he took these things and he hid them in his tent. He didn't tell the other soldiers. He did not tell Joshua. I don't know that he told his wife and his kids. He had just trespassed against God by going against God and stealing these things. And the next battle that this army went to, 36 people died. You say, well, so what's the big deal? The Bible teaches that because Achan had sinned against God, the blessing of God did not go with them to the next battle at a place called Ai, and as a result of it, 36 people died that shouldn't have died because of the sin of Achan. What happened? They got to trying to figure out what in the world is going on here. We have lost the presence of God. What has gone on? And they traced it and they found out that Achan had gone against God, sinned against God. He had taken the Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold and he'd hidden it in his tent. And they took him and his family without the city and stoned them to death. The death certificate said Achan. Cause of death? Sin. Mrs. Achan. Cause of death? Husband sin. Achan children. Cause of death? The father's sin. The wages of sin was death for Peter. Peter was an apostle. We all know about Peter, and he was very close to Jesus. He was a part of the inner circle. Peter had a wonderful testimony for Christ. Everybody knew Peter, and everybody knew that Peter, after being saved, became one of Jesus' right-hand men. You're going to find out most of what Peter did, even if he got a little carried away, was because he was so zealous about wanting to do what's right. Well, one day, Jesus was on his way to the cross in the latter part of the relationship between Peter and Jesus, at least while Jesus was alive and having his earthly ministry. So here Jesus is. He's on his way to go to a mock trial, and he's been accused, and Peter, one of his followers, the Bible says Peter followed afar off. Peter ends up warming himself by what we call the devil's fire. Peter's keeping his hands warm, and there are these people gathered around, and Peter's kind of watching from a distance where they're dragging Jesus to a mock trial, and Peter's warming his hands by the devil's fire, and there is a damsel there, young lady. She says to Peter, well, are you not one of his disciples? And Peter said, I am not. Well, anytime you follow Jesus afar off, you're going to start denying that you even belong to him. Peter, in this conversation with one woman that put a little pressure on him, Peter denies that he is a Christian. He curses and he lies, all three. And that night with that damsel, Peter's testimony was killed. He killed his testimony with her. Put his testimony for Jesus Christ to death. Everybody has a testimony. Hey, if you look at the death certificate of Peter's testimony, the cause of death, sin. Sin. The wages of sin were death for Moses. Moses was leading God's people through the wilderness. God had told Moses at a certain point while leading God's children through the wilderness. He said, I want you to speak to a rock. They were out there. It was a desert land and the people were thirsty. And God said, Moses, if you will speak to a rock, I will bring water forth. Well, Moses lost his temper. He took his staff. He struck the rock. He hit the rock twice. And the Bible says that because of it, God was very disappointed. Moses had lost his temper. Moses had become angry. And because of that, a dream of Moses' was put to death. You see, all the years that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, I think Moses dreamed at night of going in to the promised land. I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. Moses was looking forward to going into the promised land, but because of his anger, because of his temper, because of his lack of self-control, he smote the rock twice. As a result of it, God said, death to your dream, Moses. And so on the death certificate of Moses' dream, you'll see cause of death, sin. The wages of sin was death for a man named Cain. I think a young man. Cain was one of the children of Adam and Eve. Cain had a brother named Abel. God had said to Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve that they should give a sacrifice. That sacrifice would be a sacrifice that would picture the coming Messiah. It would be a sacrifice of blood because it would picture the coming Messiah's blood, of whom John said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world." And so they were to give a sacrifice of blood, and Abel did so. Abel did what God wanted. He brought a sacrifice of an animal. But Cain, he wanted to do it his own way. He had his own religious beliefs. Cain thought, well, it doesn't matter what you do as long as you're sincere. Well, God said you ought to be sincere, but sincerely right by following the Word of God. I'll do it my own way. Whatever religion is fine. It does not matter. Your religion should be based on the Bible, the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Well, Cain said, I'll do it my own way. As a result of it, God was displeased with Cain's sacrifice. And God rejected Cain's sacrifice. And Cain got angry with Abel, his brother. They were in the field. Abel had given a proper sacrifice. His brother Cain had given a bad sacrifice. And Cain was mad. He was mad at God. And he ended up being mad at his brother. And he killed his own brother. Cain's sin brought death to his relationship with his brother. He smote his own brother. Because of Cain's sin, death came to a relationship. If we looked at the death certificate of the relationship between Cain and Abel, the cause of that relationship's death? Sin. Because sin brings death. The wages of sin were death for a man by the name of Samson. You've heard the stories of Samson. He was a powerful man. He was a capable man. He had married a heathen woman, though, a woman by the name of Delilah. And he was not to have married Delilah. She was heathen. She was unsaved. And she was unspiritual. She was unchurched, not interested in the things of God. Because of this marriage, he ends up losing his power. Delilah, she wasn't for God. She wasn't for God's will. There were those that wanted to take Samson as a prisoner. They wanted to put him in captivity because he was so powerful for God. The Bible says that Delilah came to Samson and she wooed him. She used her influence, ladies, and she used it wrong because she wanted to find the source of his power because she wasn't right with God and she wanted to bring him down and she wanted to take his power away from him. So she was in cahoots with the enemy and they said, well, let's get together. And she said, I'll try to help you figure out where his power is and you can take this man that I opposed to love, and I'll help you to destroy him. She said, Samson, honey, tell me what your power is all about. What gives you your power? He said, you bind me with green vines. and those vines will steal my power. So she bound him with green vines, put his hands behind his back, and all of a sudden the enemy come running, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he burst the vines and beat the stuffings out of them. And she said, ah, he tricked me. At another time she said, Samson, honey, tell me, where is your power? What's the secret to your power? How could somebody conquer you? He said, if you'll bind me with new ropes, that'll do it. She bound him with new ropes. She said, the Philistines are upon thee. The enemy came running, and he pops those cords as if it's made of spaghetti, and he beats the stuffing out of them. And she scratches her head and says, ah, he fooled me. She said, Samson, honey, tell me, what could we do to take your power? He said, well, you weave my hair a certain way. So she did. Samson, the Philistines are upon thee. And he beats the stuffings out of them, and she scratches her head and says, he fooled me. And then she wooed him enough. And finally he tells her the secret. Samson had taken a vow called the Nazarite vow, to where a razor was not to touch his hair, a promise he had made to God. And she tells him the secret to his power. And they cut his hair. When the Philistines come upon him, they overtake him. They put out his eyes, and his power is now gone. You see Samson now chained like an animal at a grinding mill and unable to do what he could have done for God. What happened? The ultimate will of God for Samson's life has now died because Samson sinned. He fiddled with the woman he shouldn't have fiddled with. He told her what she shouldn't have been told. And because of his sin, he has now sacrificed the ultimate will of God for his life. And if you looked at the death certificate for the ultimate will of God for Samson's life, the cause of death? Sin. The wages of sin was death for a rich man, found in Luke chapter number 16. This man had it made. He was a rich man, but he rejected salvation. Now let me say, at the rich man's gate, there was a beggar there. That beggar received Jesus Christ. He received Christ as Savior. The beggar got to go to heaven. The rich man, he rejected Jesus Christ. As a result of it, the rich man died and went to hell. It was the death of his soul. And if you looked at the death certificate of the rich man found in Luke 16, you could glance at the reason or cause of death. And ultimately, it would say, sin, sin. Achan's sin brought the death of his body. Peter's sin brought the death of his testimony. Cain's sin brought the death of his relationships. Samson's sin brought the death of God's ultimate will for his life. The rich man's sins brought the death of his soul. See, sin's paycheck has always been and always will be the death of something. Sin brings the death of something. This disease called sin does not always take you overnight, but it takes you eventually. Say, I did it. I did. Brother Owens, you warned me about a particular sin, and nah. I'm alive. I'm well. Nothing died. Yet. Let me warn you that the penalty of sin is death. And the wages of sin is death. First of all, let me tell you, sin can bring physical death. Like Achan and his family. Achan ended up dying because of his sin. You go out and take your drugs and think you're getting away with it. It'll kill you sooner or later. You'll die from an overdose. Or you'll be killed by the crowd that you're running with. You go ahead and drink your booze. You go ahead and drink your life away. It'll kill you sooner or later. Because the wages of sin is death. You'll be in an automobile wreck, but here's the bad part. You'll kill somebody else too. You'll die from liver disease. You'll die from suicide by an alcohol-induced depression. Go ahead. But sin brings death. Go ahead and live your life with your free sex. Go ahead, young person. Sleep with somebody you're not married to. Go ahead, married person. Mess around on your wife. Mess around on your husband. Go ahead and live in this immoral society that now laughs and mocks when a preacher like myself gets up and tells it sin to sleep with anybody and have sex with anybody you're not married to. Well, it is still sin. It's still wrong. It'll catch up to you, though. You may think you're smart enough to avoid some disease, but it'll catch up to you. Wonder how many babies have come to death through abortion. If some woman and some man did not have the maturity and the decency and the Christianity to let a child live. Death because of sex? Sure. Death. Or maybe somebody's husband's going to shoot you in the head because you're messing with their wife. Someone here will die early because of sex. You know something? There'll be no death in heaven. You say, why? There'll be no sin in heaven. And the wages of sin is death. He say, well, Brother Owens, I just don't believe that what you're teaching applies to New Testament Christianity. Then you better tell Ananias and Sapphira. They dropped over dead within hours of each other because they lied to God. That's a mere lie to God. They were not immoral. They, you know what they did? They promised they were going to give some money to God and didn't. Check your faith promise. Hey, remember Korah? The Old Testament, a man by the name of Korah, he rose up against Moses, God's appointed leader, and he became critical, and he caused a division among the people. And the Bible says that God opened the earth up, and thousands died as they fell in the earth because somebody was disloyal to the leadership of God. I knew a young lady. She claimed to be saved, but she was every bit a rebel. She'd gone to the Christian school long enough to be dangerous. Knew enough religion to fake it, to act like a good Christian when behind the scenes she was a demon. Yes. I don't mean an actual demon, but she was living like a little devil. She heard me preach a few times. You'll either love me or you'll hate me. What people don't like is the fact that I just tell the truth. Oh, she didn't like it. She didn't like it. She didn't like it at all. I did not know that my preaching was speaking to her. Didn't even really know her much. Oh, but she began to despise me. Before long, she threatened to try to have me killed. She threatened to blow up my car. I remember when I had to talk. I had to talk to the police about it. I had to be careful. I mean, she was so wicked. She's going around the church. She was sleeping with young men and causing them to fall. She was doing things that she should not do. It was terrible. And I had talked to her, and I tried to help her, and I was gentle with her, and I was good to her. And boy, she was hateful and spiteful and causing problems and vandalizing. And I do not know why, but I virtually became consumed. She was at my office one day, and I said, you can't do that. Please don't do that. Turn to God. And she was hateful. And I said, you need to knock it off, or you're going to die. I almost could not believe those words had come out of my mouth. Because I would not for a moment think that I would have anything or any insight into something of that nature. Within a week, I received a phone call in the middle of the night, and on my answering machine, I heard the lips of a quivering mother say, oh, Brother Owens, my daughter,
She's in the hospital. She's dying. She's dying. She's dying, and I think you're the only one that can help her. Please, I beg if you go to the hospital and ask God to spare her.
I got in my car. I drove to the hospital. I went to the intensive care. And all her cronies, her druggies, her drunk friends had beat her up and taken a baseball bat to her and beat her within inches of her life. Because that's the kind of flunky she was spending her time with. She'd been so hateful. I walked into the room. Her eyes were virtually matted shut, stuck together from the poison that was in her body because they did ungodly things with the baseball bat when they beat her. She had internal infections. They said to me, she may not have much time. I went into her room. She could barely open her eyes. I began to talk to her, and I talked to her about her condition. She said, physically, no, I wasn't near as worried about her physical condition as I was her spiritual. I told her, I said, you just need to turn to God. You need to stop rebelling against Him. I watched some tears barely creep out of those matted eyes. And I said, do you want to get your heart right with God? I watched her barely wink her eyes. She couldn't hardly move her body. I just placed my hand on the arm in which a tube had been connected, and I said, dear Lord, please, I think if you'll spare her, I think she'll turn back to you. And I left. I figured in the night that she would die. Early the next morning, I went to the hospital. Another one of the pastors had been in seeing her. I was going in as she was coming out. As he was coming out, this other pastor. And he said, who are you here to see? And I called her name. He said, it's miraculous. It's miraculous. She's going to make it. She was sitting up in bed talking. But let me tell you something. The wages of sin could be death to your body. Only three times have I ever said that to anyone. Her, another who died, and yet another who's still on trial as to what they're going to do for God. The innocent died with the guilty, like Achan's family. David's child died as a result of his misbehavior with another man's wife. You say, that's scary, Brother Owens. You better bet your last nickel it's scary. You're not going to fiddle around with God, especially after hearing the kind of truth that you hear, and expect God to sit idly by and let you do whatever you want and live any way you want. To whom much is given, much is required, and the wages of sin is death. And it could be physical death. It could be the death of your testimony, like the Apostle Peter. His testimony died the day that he denied Christ and that he cussed and he swore. Don't ruin your name. Look at what Thomas did to himself. Thomas went down in history being called a doubter. He could have had a wonderful testimony. You watch what you do. Don't bring death to a testimony. You young people, some of you, your mom and your dad have given you a good name and tried to rear you right. Don't mess up that name. Don't bring death to a good, decent name. Don't become known as a troublemaker. Don't be quick-tempered, which will produce a bad name. Don't, in a fit of passion, destroy your name. Don't go to places that will destroy your name. Don't run with people that will destroy your testimony. There are people in this building. You've made some excellent corrections in your life. You're rebuilding your life. You're getting a good name. Don't blow it now. Don't destroy your testimony with the bad crowd. Young man was in Bible college. He decided to drop out for a semester of Bible college for his company's sake. It had been recommended to him that he just keep on plodding forward, but he did it. He was a banker, matter of fact. I think he's into finances. He was a financier. Then, next thing you know, he let his company transfer him away. Let me tell you something. Sears and Roebuck is not your God. You be careful letting Almighty Dollar decide where you live. You better find you a church and lock in and let God decide where you live and what you are. But his job transferred him away from his church.
Well, he had to run around with the elite crowd, so at lunch he sipped his wine and his cocktails with them and justified it on the basis of, it's a part of my relationship with the people at work. In spite of what the Bible says about wine being a mocker and strong drink being raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, and he could probably find some preacher that was cowardly enough not to say it from the pulpit. So he could justify it because he heard some preacher that had his tail between his legs that would justify him sipping his cocktails down with the ministerial assassination. Next thing you know, he's drinking way too much. Which any is too much. Then he left his wife and his daughter. Then he became an alcoholic. Then he sat in my office one day and said, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. I lost my wife and my kids. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a drunk, Brother Owens. The wages of sin was death to his testimony. Will your testimony have on its death certificate the cause of death, sin? The wages of sin was death to a man by the name of Moses. It was death to his dream. Some dream of a good job. Some dream of having a good Christian wife. Some dream of having a good Christian husband. Or dream of a good Christian family. Or dream of having a long, healthy life serving God. Some dream of teaching a Sunday school lesson. Or dream of being a bus captain. Or dream of changing lives. Or dream of singing solos and duets from this pulpit someday. What do you dream? What do you dream? What do you dream of being? Hey, two men died and went to heaven. God greeted them there and said, I'm sorry, gentlemen, but your mansions are not ready yet. So I'm going to have to send you back to earth and let you be whatever you've ever dreamed of being for just a little while, and then we'll bring you back up when your mansion is ready. One guy said, well, I'll tell you what I want to be. I've always dreamed of being an eagle, soaring above the magnificent landscape. God said, no problem. Poof. And the guy was gone. He said to the second man, and what have you always dreamed of being? And the man said, I'd like to be one cool stud. God said, no problem. Poof. And he was gone. In just a short amount of time, their mansions were ready. They were finished. And God said to an angel, go get him and bring him back. He said, the first guy is going to be easy to find because he is soaring high above the Grand Canyons. Now, the other guy, right now, he's a snow tire on a truck in Alaska. Oh, my friend, death. Death is the result of sin. The wages of sin is death. The death of a dream may come as it did to Moses. Moses dreamed of going into the promised land, but Moses sinned, and as a result, his dream died, and they had to bury him just over on the other side. He did not get to go into the promised land. Others have dreamed for you, young people. Don't bring death to their dreams. Your parents have dreamed for you. Your preacher has dreams for you. Your youth pastor has dreams for you. Your Christian school administrator and this man here to my right, he has dreams for you. Your Sunday school teachers have dreams for you. Hey, husband, your wife has dreams for you. Hey, wife, your husband has dreams for you. Your parents have dreams for you. Your sin is a down payment on the casket in which your dreams will be buried. See, the devil is a dream destroyer. Watch out. The death of the dream. Cause of death on the death certificate? Sin. The death of relationships. The death of relationships. What's the cause? Sin. Like Cain. Do you realize Cain's sin brought the death of the relationship between him and Abel? And I'm sure it wasn't real healthy for his relationship with mom and dad. Listen, Christian friends should not encourage
friends to rebel, to do wrong, to break rules, to be unfaithful to church, to be disloyal, to criticize. That's not what Christian friends do. Christian friends, if you find your common denominator as sin, you're going to find your common destiny as death. Death to relationships? I wonder how many of us, because of sin, we have brought death to some what could have been some wonderful relationships. Will your sin be death to your marriage? Will your sin be the death to a relationship you could have had with mom and dad? Or with your children? Sin kills relationships. Sin slays homes. Sin massacres marriages. I like this. There was a man, he was in bed dying, slipping in and out of a coma. His wife came into the room and his doctor and the funeral home director. Mrs. Smith, you realize that the bill for my services is $1,000, the doctor said. Fine, said the woman. I'll see to it that it's paid from the insurance. And don't forget, Mary, the funeral and casket will cost $3,000, said the funeral director. Don't worry, sir. I'll see to it that you're paid as well, said his wife. The three walked over to the bed. The doctor stood on one side of the man, and the funeral home director stood on the other side. The dying man came out of his coma. He opened his eyes, and he saw the two men there and said to his wife, "Honey, would you tell the people at my funeral that I died just as Jesus died?" She said, "Honey, do you mean pure of heart and poor of spirit?" He said, "No, hanging between two thieves." The death of relationships. Some of you are going to destroy relationships. You're going to bring some relationships to death. And cause of death on the death certificate? Sin. For the wages of sin is death. The death of something. How about the death of God's ultimate will? For God's perfect will. I believe that happened to Samson. I think God had some wonderful plan for Samson, but because Samson could not behave himself, I don't believe Samson got to achieve all that God wanted him to achieve. There are some special tasks that you were created to do. There's something for God you're to accomplish. And I'm not talking about just one big thing. It could be a variety of things that you ought to be doing with your life. But when we continue in sin and go down the wrong road, you miss so many of those wonderful tasks and the accomplishment of those tasks. Maybe it's the perfect marriage partner. Samson's sin with Delilah messed up a part of his life. Young people, you should never marry someone that's not born again, saved, and spiritual and committed to God. God made you for a special purpose, and sin's goal is to keep you from that purpose. Get this. It's not just a matter of, we get this idea that what the devil wants to do is he wants us all to go out and be murderers so we miss God's will, and be rapists so we miss God's will, and be bank robbers so we miss God's will, and be vile and vicious and nasty so we miss God's will. You've got it all wrong. He just wants you to miss God's will. He wouldn't care if you went and did something good, as long as it's not the good you're supposed to be doing. He wants you out of God's will. Guess what? Do what you want. And the devil says, "Way to go." Why? He just doesn't want you to do what God wants you to do. You think you're doing fine because you're not killing anybody. You're not robbing any banks. You're not committing adultery. You're doing wonderful in your opinion. The question is not the bad you're doing, but are you doing the good you're supposed to do? Are you in the will of God? Because the devil's goal is to get you to do what he wants you to do, or get you to do what you want you to do, or get you to do what your wife wants you to do, or your husband wants you to do. Do anything but one thing. That's what God wants you to do. If you do anything but what God wants you to do, you've stepped out of the will of God, and that's the devil's goal. So you pick it, baby. Do what you want. The devil says, we'll form a team. I'll let you have choice. Do what you want. Just don't do the will of God. We convince ourselves that as long as I'm not doing all that bad stuff, I'm in the will of God. Sorry, Charlie. What gets you in the will of God is doing all that good stuff that He wants you to do, not the absence of the bad stuff that you think the devil wants you to do. Some of you might as well go ahead and strike a match to the great will of God, because you're going to live in sin, and that is the denial of the will of God. You can cremate the will of God, and that could be the form of burial. Just go ahead and burn it to ashes. I spend a lot of time reminding you that no matter what you do, God has a will for your life, and I believe that. I believe every day God has to get up and rewrite some part of His will for us because we messed it up somewhere along the way. But for some of you, He rewrites the will every day in pencil because He needs a big eraser, because you live your life so sporadically, and you want to serve Him, don't want to serve Him, want to serve Him, don't want to serve Him. Let's get serious about the will of God, folks. Get serious and fulfill His will from here on out. Now look, there's nothing we can do about the past. There's no way we can change yesterday, but we can live right today. And let's get in the will of God today from here on out. You know, some of you will not be able to do what you could have done. I'm sorry. I wish I could change that. I can't. Somebody here has probably damaged what you could have done for God. But wait a minute. That doesn't mean you can't do something for God. Let's find out what we can do and do all that we can do, though we might not be able to do all we could have done. If for no other reason you wait until you're 50 to decide to surrender to the will of God, He probably wanted you to surrender when you were a kid. You can't go back and relive the last 45 years of your life. And so, young people, you listen to what Brother Owens is telling you tonight. Get in the will of God and fulfill the will of God, and don't waste your life. Brother Smith asked me a very serious question before we came on the platform. He said, Brother Owens, have you always had such drive and desire to do what you do? I said, not always. But I said, when I was in my middle teenage years and got saved, something happened inside me, and I decided, I'm not a very talented or a very capable person, and I realized I had to squeeze every moment out of every day. I wanted to do something with my life, and I don't have the talent that some have and the capabilities that some have. So I decided I just want to get in His will and stay in His will every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year of every decade. I don't want to waste one moment. What are you doing with your life, folks? Watch out. The wages of sin is death to something. Is it the death of the will of God? What little sin's keeping you from doing the big thing that God has for your future? Oh, the wages of sin is death for the soul. Like the rich man in Luke 16, if you're not born again here this evening, you need to get saved. Why? Because the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ will send you straight to hell when you die. You say, well, I'm not going to die anytime soon. You're a miraculous person. You know something only God knows, because it is only God that knows when you're going to die. And there's a good chance you may be here tonight unsaved, and you're going to die when you hit Highway 11 tonight. If I were you, I'd settle that thing and I'd get born again. Because the wages of sin is death to the soul. The only sin that will bring eternal death is the sin of rejecting Jesus Christ. And if you have not accepted Him, you have therefore rejected Him. And you need to get saved. For the wages of sin is death. Hey, does God have the pen out this evening with the death certificate? And getting ready to write in the cause of your death? Has He the pen now? Preparing to fill out the time, the date, the place. To who is God speaking? Sin will bring death in many areas of your life. Sad part is, sometimes sin may bring death to others with whom you associate. Don't earn the wages of sin. Get yourself off of sin's payroll. He said, Brother Owen, what sin could bring death to me? I don't know. Only you and God know that. Which of your sins have you thought about as I preached? That is probably the one. Is mine different than somebody else's? Sure. It may be a particular sin that is merely a reflection of the rebellion in your heart. How long have you fought God over so many things? And God says, the next time he rebels, the next time she rebels, I'll go ahead and take her to heaven. So why would he do that? To spare you from messing up your life any more down here or anybody else's. It's not a hateful thing. He does it for your mercy. And maybe the mercy for others. What sin are you thinking about? I just came to tell you the final destination. Can't tell you where you've been. Can't tell you where you plan to go. I can't tell you what you're planning on doing on the trip, but I'm going to tell you this. We're all going to face death sooner or later. Sin brings death. Why face it any sooner than what we have to? For the wages of sin is death. I'd recommend this. Somebody